Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So a bit of confession time this morning. You know, one of the biggest struggles for me, church-related, in the last year has been singing with these on. It's a struggle you are all very intimately familiar with this morning. One of the really incredible things that happened in the spring when we had, or fall, when we started doing outdoor services. I'm still bummed we have not gotten an outdoor service in on a Saturday this spring. But one of the things that stuck out when we began doing those services in the fall outside was just how incredible it was to sing again with the people of God, because obviously these have a place and they're good for what they're intended, but man, when it comes to singing, they're rough. Trying to catch your breath, they mute the sound. Lutherans have been known for a long time as singers, and it's not a surprise. Martin Luther once said that music deserves only slightly less praise than the Word of God. Now, that's a pretty audacious statement. He said, music deserves only slightly less praise than the Word of God. And then he went on to explain himself, which is good, because with a statement like that, you probably need a little explanation. He went on to say that music has a way of reaching into our hearts and rooting into our hearts in a way that oftentimes the spoken word just doesn't do, or doesn't do in the same way. So for example, most people, and if we're representative of most people here in this church, most people would say that memory work, memorization, doesn't come easy for them. However, if you happen to be one of those people that thinks, you know, memorization is just not my thing, I'm willing to bet that if I sat down next to you in your car as you were listening to your favorite playlist or your favorite radio station, if you were brave enough to sing in front of me, you could probably sing word for word the words of some of your favorite songs without even really thinking about it. And it's because music has a way of reaching into our hearts, and it works with our memory, and it's for this reason the best hymns are really God's word set to music. It's why Martin Luther wrote so many hymns himself, and why he said that if people don't sing it, they don't believe it. The reverse is probably also true. If people sing it, they believe it. Which is maybe a bit of caution as you think about what are the things that you sing throughout the week. But this morning, I want to explore a well-known hymn, this hymn that kind of bookends our sermon, this hymn, Abide With Me. It's a familiar hymn. We've sung it quite often here at Chapel Across. And even if this is your first time with us at chapel, my guess is you probably heard this hymn before or sung it before yourself. It's a frequent one that's played or sung at funerals because of comfort and the assurance that it gives. And it gives that comfort and assurance in a way that makes a little more sense when you know the story behind this hymn. See, Abide With Me was written by a guy named Henry Francis Light in 1847. So the hymn itself is over 174 years old. Now, in his life, his life probably mirrored ours in a lot of ways. He experienced both joy and sorrow and hardship and privilege. As a young boy, his father abandoned his family and his mother and younger brother, and he went to live in London. But by the age of 9, both his mother and his younger brother had died, leaving him alone. Life for him at that moment wasn't the greatest. And we've all experienced that. Whether we say that about the last 12 months, or we just look at our lives and we know that there are those places, those times where life was difficult for us. Henry knew that. But that wasn't all Henry knew in his life, because shortly after the death of his mother and younger brother, a headmaster took notice of him and virtually adopted him, assured that he would receive an education, which wasn't always a given in his day and age. He went on to marry a woman from a well-known family and lived a life of relative wealth and happiness. And we all know what that is as well. Because even in the past 12 months with the masks and the pandemic and everything else, I'm sure that every single one of us can look back and thank God for at least some number of things, some blessings that He's given us in this past year. I know that I can. Now, in his 20s, Henry became a pastor, and he struggled with health issues throughout his life, mostly asthma and bronchitis. And then at the age of 54, he contracted tuberculosis, and he was dying from it. And it was as he was dying from tuberculosis that he wrote the words of this hymn, "Abide with Me." And if you read through the words of this hymn, you can kind of come away with the sense that he knew that his time was short. I mean, look just at the first verse. "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." He goes on like that. He knew that his time was short. And yet, he knew that if God would be with him, then he could stand it all. See, this hymn became a sort of prayer for Henry. "Abide with me, O God. If you simply abide with me, then I can stand anything, even death itself. If you just stay with me, remain with me." The one theme that ties together the gospel reading for today from John's gospel and John's letter is this theme of abiding. Because it's a simple truth. We can't make it through it in this life alone. Not very well, at any rate. We were created to be in fellowship with other people. We're social creatures. God has made us this way. Made us to be in relationship with other people, but also in relationship with God. And so this is why Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, calls us to abide in Him, to remain in Him. And this is why Francis, as he looked at the end of his life, made this hymn his prayer. "Abide with me, O God." The question is, did God answer Henry's prayer? Did God abide with me? Well, God didn't heal Henry. He did die. But if you listen to the Word of God, you find it encouraging you to believe that He did not abandon Henry, that He did, in fact, remain with him. Because one of the most common and frequent promises of God in His Word, from beginning to end, is this promise that He is going to be with us. And He says it in a myriad of different ways. "Do not fear, I shall never leave you or forsake you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Do not fear, for I am with you. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." In many different ways and in many different voices, God says this to His people again and again. God's most frequent promise answers the prayer of this hymn. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, I won't. I will help you because I will abide with you. When everything around you seems to be changing and decaying, take heart, I do not change. I will abide with you. When I come to judge, I won't come in terrors, but as the friend of sinners, and thus abide with you. On to the close, through cloud and sunshine, in the face of every foe, in death and in life, I abide with you. And you can trust that. Now, some people would look at what happened to Henry and say that God didn't keep His promise. Because 3 weeks after Henry wrote this hymn, he died. He'd say, see, God didn't answer his prayer. He abandoned him, left him. He did not remain with him. But I think you can only come to that conclusion if your perspective is limited to this life. As children of God, God calls us to look up, to broaden our perspective, to see that our hope in this is not for this life only, that our hope is much wider than this. See, death and darkness and the not fun things in this world are a part of life. They're a part of every one of our lives, and none of us escapes them. Sometimes we experience the same bad things, and sometimes we experience different bad things, but the one thing we all have in common is because of sin and the fallenness of this world, they're a part of every one of our lives. But God calls us to look up, to see that while sin and death are a common feature in all of our lives, that it is not the sum total of our lives. That in the midst of it, in the midst of all of those bad things, God does abide with us in Christ. So this life, this world, is not all there is. So Jesus died on the cross in darkness, seemingly abandoned and alone. And 3 days later, the sun rose and God raised Jesus from the grave. And so it is with you and I. There will come a day, unless Christ comes again before that day, when each one of us breathes our last and we close our eyes in death. But we have this promise from Christ that a morning is coming. A morning is coming where the sun will rise and the trumpet of God will sound, and each and every one of us will be raised to life again, including Henry, the author of this hymn. So whatever's going on in your life right now, whether you look at your life and you say, the sun is setting, or you look at your kids and say, the sun is just beginning to rise on their life, or the sun is shining in the middle of a clear blue sky like it is this morning, or it's obscured by gray clouds like supposedly it's supposed to be this afternoon. No matter what, you can trust this message, this promise of God, that He will abide with you. So abide with Him. So when you sing the last three verses of this hymn this morning, whether you sing it as a prayer or you sing it as a statement of faith, take the advice of Martin Luther and sing it like you mean it. Let's pray. Lord, some paths through life are bright and cheery, and others are dark and sorrowful. But your word promises that you are always with us. Let that be the word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as you abide in us and we abide with you. In Jesus' name, amen.